Welcome to our Friday evening podcast. I'm Pastor Danny Lalayan, and I've got Benji over here to my left. I've got my wife Julie to my right, and we're going to be encouraging you about things concerning the remnant. It's a blessing from the Lord to be able to be here with you, and you know, you all that regularly listen to what God is saying here. There are certain things that God keeps us in, and one of them that just keeps reminding us about day after day after day after day is there are few who find it. And if there are few who find it, which is that's what Jesus said, then that strongly encourages us to do everything that we can do to please God. And I know people don't like to think of it in those terms. Well, you know, I don't want to put it. I don't want to have to do anything because that makes it too hard. I just want to think about being able to just lay there in the arms of God and God to say, oh, you know, everything is okay, and you just lay there and just be happy. But that's not the word of God. God, from the very beginning of time, has looked for people that understand what it means to be separate, to be holy, and to please Him. And so we spend these podcasts talking about pleasing God and what it means to be a people that please God. And so with that being the backdrop, last week we talked about Enoch and Elijah and how they never died, how Enoch walked with God and pleased God, and how Elijah did likewise. I want to kind of take that to the next step and talk a little bit about the coming of our Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to have Julie read a scripture in just a moment, a scripture that most of us are immediately going to recognize. But on Sunday morning, I talked about, I'm in the middle of a series about a different kind of ark and why God has us building a spiritual ark here and what it's going to be like inside of that ark. And I talked about a series of things this past week about what we're going to be doing inside of that ark that makes it different. One of the things I didn't get to was I had made a note that inside of the ark, every day those people want to bring Jesus back. That's just their life. If whoever's going to be on that ark, like Noah, every day their life is about bringing Jesus back. And when you put it into that type of context, it changes things for you. All of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, me working to buy things for my life is not bringing Jesus back. Me doing things to recreate my life is not bringing Jesus back. It changes things when you realize that we are supposed to be living to bring Jesus back. We've done podcasts before. I've done many messages before, going through step by step through the Word of God, showing how all of the apostles that wrote the Word of God, that they believed that Jesus was about to come back during their lifetime.
Right.
They expected it. And so if they expected it and it didn't happen, does that mean that they were not men of God? That they weren't hearing from God? And the answer is, of course not. The answer is that the church did not do what it was supposed to do to bring Jesus back. Hmm. That Jesus is waiting for us to bring Him back. And again, people, just as a little bit of a reminder, people say, well, you know, the Bible says says, or I've been taught that there's just this set day that God has picked in the future, and it doesn't matter what we do, Jesus is going to come back on that day that God has chosen. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. Yeah. Not at all. And where they get that from is they say, well, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father in heaven. And they say, well, if God knows the day and the hour, then it's already been chosen. But you don't understand the Word of God. Right. Number one, everything else in the Word of God points to the fact that there's not some set day in the future, that God is waiting on us to bring Jesus back. And then number two, the whole reason Jesus said that statement about only the Father knows is because he was trying to let everyone around there know, well, God knows everything. God knows everything. Of course, God knows when I'm coming back because God knows everything. The Father
can be true,
at the same right? Time. The Father knows everything. It's not because there's some set day.
God is outside our concept of time.
Absolutely, it's not because there's some set day. It's exactly what Jesus said. You know, only the Father knows. Why? Because he's God. He's God. He knows. But the whole of the Word of God does not point to that there's some set day in the future. And if there's not a set day, then what determines when he comes back? If there's not some date written in a book somewhere, okay, this is the day. And again, nowhere in the Word of God does it point to that.
In fact, everywhere in the Word of God, it points to
the
real truth.
Absolutely.
That Jesus
people have, that it's our responsibility to hasten the day.
Yes. Well, don't get ahead of us now.
I'm sorry.
Don't run my flow going here. So,
I couldn't help myself.
But we've got to understand that it is the enemy that wants us to think that there's some set time in the future. Because what that does, it does several things. It creates people that think that it doesn't matter what they do. It creates people that begin to preach about this certain day, and they're more focused on the signs of when that day is going to happen than they are about pleasing God. And I always bring up about how I remember growing up, every person that had any kind of prophetic influence in the church around the world, they were getting up and they were beating their hands. Oh, Mikhail Gorbachev has the sign of the beast on his head. Always joke, he's got the sign of the beast. That means that in the year, 1999, right before it strikes 2000, that's, Y2K, that's when Jesus is going to come back. Or, I'm just making up stuff. I know that, but you all remember stuff.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Everybody was sure, because the devil gets people more interested in the signs than they do about pleasing God. And everyone wants to get into Revelation and talk about this thing and this thing and this beast and this sign and this, when that has nothing to do with anything at all.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
John looked up in there and he saw what was happening, tried to put it down on paper, but that's not what Revelation is about. Revelation is about, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Come quickly. Not, hey, let's wait for this day to happen. Revelation is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Go read it. That's what it's about. He tried to write down things that he saw, but that's not what we take from Revelation. Revelation is, come, Lord Jesus. We forget that Revelation starts with Jesus talking to seven churches, mm-hmm. saying, hey, by and large, you've messed up. And so now we get to where we want to talk about today, to kind of continue that thought. If there's not a set day, then what is there? God's waiting. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad, before the Lord took him home, said to us, he said, God is waiting on us. And we always kind of took that, rightfully so, as a personal message here at the City on the Hill. But I believe it has even greater implications. God is waiting on his people. He's waiting on his people. So Julie, read from Peter. I believe I have you starting in verse 10. Go ahead and read that, and let's talk about this for a minute.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things...
Okay, I'll stop for a second. You know, one of the keys to studying and reading and being able to receive from the Word of God, you know, I think Sunday I talked about there's an order to the Word of God. It's not that one scripture is more important than the other, but there's an order, kind of like in our personal bodies. There's an order. You know, every part works together, and you can't say, you know, well, I don't need the hand, I don't need the foot. But here's the thing. You can live without a hand. You can't live without a heart. You can live without a foot. You can't live without lungs. You know, there are parts, and that's the way the Word of God is. There are things in the Word of God. There's an order, and certain things are at the very top of the mountain. And I was talking about holiness. I said everything has to run through holiness, everything, even love. Even love, which is everyone, even love has to work, has to go through holiness, right, or else it just becomes some fleshly thing. Everything has to work through holiness. And this scripture kind of speaks to that. It starts out talking about the day of the Lord and the fervent heat and the passing away, all of which is true. We know it's in the Word of God. But then it has a word that makes you realize, okay, now this is what Peter wants us to focus on. He says that, but then he says this word. He says, therefore. In other words, pay attention to what I'm about to say. Start with therefore.
Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?
You see, he says, this is why I'm writing this. I'm writing this. Yeah, we know that all these things are going to happen when the Lord returns. But here's what I want you to know right now. If you know that this fire is coming, if you know this destruction is coming, if you know that this is going to happen, then shouldn't that make you change your life? Now remember, he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to Christians. We forget that. We read these scriptures and we say, oh, that's a good scripture to tell my sinner friends. No, that's a good scripture if you think you're a Christian to understand. Because there are few who find it. And who are the few that are going to find it? It's the ones that understand that God is looking for Christians to walk in holiness. Those are the ones that are going to find it. Those are the ones that are going to get the mark on their head that Ezekiel talked about, that the angel's going through and said, mark those that are mine. Mm-hmm. Mark those that sigh and cry out for what's going on. And so he says, hey, pay attention to what I'm about to say. All this stuff is going to happen. Shouldn't that make you? And then she read it. To be in holy conduct and godliness. Think about what we just read. Holy conduct and godliness. Finish, mm-hmm. Continue on.
Looking for and hastening.
Oh, keep reading.
Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Okay, stop. Again, I hope everyone is listening to what we just read. If that doesn't tell you that there's not just a day set in the future that we just should be sitting around waiting and hoping for, then I don't know what else to say. Literally, Peter, he says, listen, this is the day of the Lord's going to come. There's, you know, the fervent heat, the fire that's going to melt this. And he said, because of all that, that should make you live holy. And what is holy? It's separation. It's separation. It's coming out from everything else, is what Paul said. He said, this should make you be holy and make you be godly. Listen, you're to be holy, you're to be godly. Why? Well, it tells you, it goes on in verse 12. It says, looking for and hastening. Number one, you have to live your life always looking for the coming of the Lord. Always. I would venture to say, even though people might talk about it, there's very few people actually looking for. Mm-hmm. And when I say looking for, what I mean is looking forward to. Like, hey, this is our life. This the only reason we're here is to look for the coming of the Lord. Doesn't Paul say not even to look at what is? He said, don't even look at what's around you. But we live our lives in such a way that we think to ourselves, oh, I've got to get everything I can in this lifetime. I have to squeeze every vacation out I can. I have to get every moment, every viral moment in my life. I've got to put everything down on Facebook, on Instagram. I've got to let everyone know what I'm doing because it's about this life. And Peter says, no, because of the fire, it should make you live holy and godly. Why? Because you have to look for. It has to be your life you have to look for. But then comes the one that really is the other shoe dropping. Mm-hmm. He says, looking for and hastening. One of the definitions in the Greek language of that word is to speed. You're trying to speed up the coming of the Lord. You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to say, it's not happening. I want to do what it takes to make it happen.
To bring it into your lifetime.
Hastening. And anyone that says, well, there's this day, and we're just looking for the signs of the day. Listen, forget the signs. Forget the signs. Just get it out of here. Forget the signs. You should be living your life and holiness, mm-hmm. which is separation from the world, separation. It's not, hey, let's see how close we can get to the world so we can go save them. No, that's not holiness. There's holiness, godliness. Why? So that you can look for and speed up the coming of the Lord. That is what God's people are supposed to be doing. And Peter and Paul and James, they all thought that it was about to happen. John thought it was about to happen. Go read Revelation. Did you know that in Revelation he actually said, these things which are about to happen. He literally said that. He literally wrote that.
Behold, I come quickly.
Exactly. That's what Jesus said. You see, Jesus was sitting there waiting to come back, waiting. I'm ready to come. But the devil came in with deception. You say, well, does that mean the devil won? No, the devil didn't win anything. But God still waits. And God is patient. He's patient. And even, I don't know if I'll have a reader, but in the same chapter mm-hmm. here, it literally goes, go ahead.
But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
He even goes on and references and says, of course God doesn't want anyone lost. But God has a plan. He has a plan, and he's not going to change that plan. And the plan is that he's going to have a remnant that is going to do what it takes to bring Jesus back so that he doesn't lose. He's got that plan, and he will not lose. Mm-hmm. And the sad part of it is that because people don't believe and because people refuse to, you see, Paul, and I've read Paul recently, but Peter does the same thing. He talks to the church people. He's talking to Christians, and he's telling them, you really better start walking in holiness Because one of the things that God's been revealing, showing us through the Word of God here, that salvation is it is your step through the door. But the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's what the Bible says.
I was about to say, a lot of this is based on how you view salvation, because a lot of people, they view salvation as the end point. And like he said, after they've gotten their Dunkin' water of salvation, like we talk about all the time, now they're just waiting for signs.
Well, and so Peter is begging them. Literally, I read at church on Wednesday night the scripture where Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, Christians, and he said, I'm pleading. He used that word. He said, I'm pleading with you. Please fix yourselves. Why? Because if you don't, you're not going to see the Lord. If you're not walking in holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. It doesn't matter how much you've prayed. It doesn't matter how much you've snotted. It doesn't matter how many people you fed. It doesn't matter how many goats you took to tribes in Africa. It doesn't matter. And you can use all the scriptures you want, but unless you understand that all scripture must flow through the holiness, it's got to start with holiness. Mm-hmm. That's the one at the top of the mountain. Even love has to go through holiness. And Peter here, like Paul, he says, listen, don't you know that when the Lord returns, this is what's going to happen? Which should make you understand you have to be holy. And then he even takes it a step further and he says, you actually have to look for and hasten it. You have to be a part of bringing him back. You have to be a part of it. Or else when there is finally that remnant that brings him back, you're not going to be a part of it. And that's where we stand in church history right now. We sit at this place, and again, I know some people don't like for me to reference our history and our heritage, but I do it because it's true, and it's who we are.
And it's prophetic.
But God chose a group. Not because he just wanted to save them from a genocide, but because he said, I can use that people. I can use them in the future. And it's been 150 years, but the promise of God to us, to us through prophets that were never wrong, is that God is going to use the word from here to bring about the end of the end. And I can remember my dad speaking and saying, he said, we're in the last days of the last days. Not because there's a set time, but because God is stirring a group of people to say, right, we want to be that thing, that group that stirs up the remnant, the Elijah, the Enoch, the Noah, that stirs them up. But again, you have to remember, if you're looking for this great, you see, one of the things going on with current events is that everyone looks for, say, oh, there's a wave spreading over this country and over even the entire world.
Right.
There's a wave and the millions and millions and billions it's touching their lives. But that's not the word of God. And it's not how God works. God works through a Noah. He works through a Noah. Mm-hmm. And he said to Noah, go build me an ark. Because the rest, and it even says, it says God regretted making man. So you see, that's not the God that's preached today. But he's the same God. We sing songs. All the churches sing songs about he's the same God. He's the same God that had Noah build an ark. He's the same God that had Elijah call fire down and then go take the false prophets and kill them by the river, by the brook. He's the same God where it called out a man by the name of Enoch. And it said, because Enoch walked with God, he never had to die. Not because there was a generation of people, no, because there was one Enoch. And I could go on and on and on and on about it. And you've heard me talk about it. I've read things from A.W. Tozer where he talked about it, where he's talked about it. He said, I'm really scared for today's church. He said, because these people don't realize that they're not going to heaven. You see, there's a remnant, and God always works through his remnant. And I'm calling out into the spirit world today. And I pray I'm touching a heart or two somewhere where they realize, wait a minute, that prophet is speaking for God. And God is waiting for someone to look for and to hasten and to speed up the coming of the Lord. With the understanding, it gets lonely sometimes because there are few who find it. It gets lonely. But the loneliness is moved away when you understand what's at stake. We're bringing Jesus back. Mm-hmm. We're bringing Jesus back. And the skies are going to open up. And the archangel's trumpet is going to sound. And we're going to bring back our Lord. And I know that is not a message that is preached ever. Oh, there's a lot of talk about Jesus coming back. There's millions of books written about Jesus coming back. There's a lot of people. Oh, well, current events in society right now are pointing to Jesus coming back. They're going to miss Jesus coming back. Or at least they're going to miss the relevance in their life. There's a good modern word for you. They're going to miss the relevance because they don't understand. He's not coming for those that are looking for the signs. He's coming for those that are looking for him. Mm-hmm. He's coming for those that are looking for him. And everyone's going to see it. The Bible says they'll all see it. But there's going to be a vast disappointment when they realize their hearts sink into their stomachs. And they realized the words of Jesus where he said, they're going to come. And they're going to say, Lord, we prophesied for you. I could think there's so many people. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there and they're getting up and giving these prophecies. And they're saying, look what we're doing for God. Oh, we prophesied for you. We cast out demons in your name. People don't understand. They don't understand. Because the next words Jesus said was, I never knew you. Lord, we're so happy you came back. I never knew you. You weren't the ones trying to bring me back. You were looking for the signs. You were preaching and saying, oh, Jesus is coming back. You were preaching about the book of Revelation and the dragons and the this and that. You were doing all that. But you weren't working to bring me back. Through separation, through getting on the ark. So I never knew you. I never knew you. And what I said, and I'll end with this. I said it on Wednesday night. We had a prayer time. It's not recorded, and so it didn't. So you, if you weren't here, you didn't hear me say it. But as we separate, as we live on this ark, as we make the way John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come back, we have to constantly understand it's not about the signs, it's not about the people, listen, God loves people. It's not about it's not about who can prophesy the best about it. It's not about this national referendum of this wave sweeping over the country. It's not about that. It's about one thing. It's about pleasing God. That's it. Nothing else. Pleasing God. Enoch pleased God, and he didn't die. It's that simple. If you want Christ to return so you don't die, you have to do the same thing Enoch did. You have to please God. That's it. And that only comes through holiness, godliness, separation, and doing the things that it takes to actually bring him back.
And before we get to the announcements, last thing I want to say, you've been talking to us personally about this a lot. Don't let the things going on in the world that look like they're of God make you think that they are when they're actually the spirit of what you say is the Antichrist.
Well, I said I was done, so clearly I'm not dumb, so I'm going to keep talking. But I was just saying to someone, mm-hmm. I was on the phone talking with someone, and I said to them, I said, do you understand the spirit of the Antichrist is not going to come reading the Islamic scriptures. It's not going to come reading scrolls from Buddha. The spirit of the Antichrist is going to do what the devil did when he tempted Jesus. He's going to read scriptures. That's what the spirit of the Antichrist. And these people that get up and they say, oh, but I've got all my scriptures lined up. So did the devil. So did the devil. You can quote all the scripture you want till you're blue in the face. So did the devil. That has nothing to do with it. That doesn't change the spirit of the word. You can read all the word you want, but the word of God is alive. It's the spirit of the word that matters. And the spirit of the word is holiness, godliness, separation. The Antichrist spirit is going to come bringing the word of God. It's going to come and bring about. It's going to bring about things that seem Christian. Actually, it's going to use churches.
And it's going to talk about big sweeping groups of people.
Yes. You
know, hundreds and thousands.
And millions.
And millions and getting bigger every day.
Well, it's
movement, you see, sweeping
the
across.
Antichrist is going to use the church. That's who, and that's why that there's only a remnant that matters. Is because it's just small remnant that works outside of the mainstream church. That works outside. It is the Rechabite spirit. Mm-hmm. It is the ones that come outside. It is the John the Baptist that lives in the wilderness. Someone hearing me? It's the John the Baptist that lives in the wilderness. It's the Noah and his family who live on the ark. That is who God is going to bring about his salvation to. And the Antichrist is going to come and use what we call the church. Not the real church. I think it was, I can't think of the guy's name. Prince. Is it Prince? Derek Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Prince talked about the fake church. And he talked about something along the lines of, he said, most of the church you look at and you see people going to, he said, that's the fake church. And they're on television, they're streaming, they have 20,000 people coming on Sundays. That's the fake church. And that's who the Antichrist is going to use, is the fake church. He's going to use scriptures. He's not going to use, you know, there's all types of things going on in the world that are red herrings. The Antichrist is coming to use those things. And he's going to use political movements that sound Christian. He's going to use current events that sound Christian. He's going to use those things to try to stir up God's people to do the wrong things. When what God is looking for is someone to bring him back. Not to get up and say, oh, how many times in the last few days have I heard people say, this is a sign that the Lord's getting ready to come back. This is a sign. This is a sign. You don't listen. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There was a tragedy that happened in our country a few days ago where a young man lost his life, and a mother and a two children, beautiful children, are never going to see their dad and their husband again. It's a tragedy. Can you just let the poor guy die in peace? They're used. This is a sign that Jesus is about. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a tragedy of untold proportions.
Right. Mm.
Because there's a little girl and a little boy that will never see their daddy again, that will never feel his hug again. There's a wife that will never know her husband again. That's a tragedy in the eyes of the Lord. But they're sitting there saying, this is a sign. And we're so busy looking for signs. And they went to Jesus. They did the same thing to Jesus. They said, give us a sign. Give us a sign. And he says, you won't get any sign except for the sign of Jonah. Hmm. And that sign of Jonah still stands today. It still stands today. And God is looking for people that are going to bring him back. Again, I'll end with this. Peter thought he was coming back. Paul thought he was coming back. James thought he was coming back. John thought he was. You see, it's either one of two things. And this is what people don't understand. It's one of two things. Either they thought he was coming back, or these people had no clue what they were talking about. They just had no clue. Now, we know that these were men and apostles of God. So we know it's not they had no clue. It's that they legitimately thought that he was coming back. Why? Because he could have. If God's remnant, if his people had have done what they should have done 2,000 years ago, then he would have come back. 1,000 years ago, he would have come back. 500 years ago, he would have come back. And now God says we're at this moment. We're at this moment in time where God has spoken this message. And yes, God, of course, knows when he's going to, because God knows everything. But we have to do it. We have to pave the way. The same way Elijah paved the way, the same way John the Baptist paved the way. Now we have to pave the way for the Lord to return. Praise God. Benji. All
right. Still meeting every Sunday at 11 a.m. We're meeting every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Those are our regular services that are in person and also on our online social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, as well as our website, cityhoneyhillchurch.net or coachurch.net. All of our information, all of our services are on that website as well, which includes our weekly functions, our devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Our podcasts are every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, wherever else you get podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play them for you sake. Play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And as always, I want to invite you to come beyond just listening to what the Remnant is about and get into living as the Remnant.
Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. There was a lot of talking today, but now it's time for a lot of doing. And so I invite you, if your heart has been touched, and I don't see why right now your heart should be leaping with the very thought of we can actually play a part in bringing Jesus back. That's what the Word of God teaches. That's what the apostles believed. That's what we're going to do. God bless you. We'll see you next time.